It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A UW-Madison scientist wants her colleagues around the globe to pull up a chair at her dinner table and share their favorite dishes.
That pan of enchiladas, or that slice of flan, in fact could help to advance scientific innovation, be the bonding agent for promising collaborations.
A new cookbook highlights the personal stories, favorite foods, and cultural traditions of over 120 researchers worldwide.
UW-Madison professor of genetics Anna Scope joins us now to talk about her cookbook. It's called Lab Culture, A Recipe for Innovation in Science. And UW-Madison senior Hareem Rauf worked on the project. Anna and Hareem, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Anna, you had so many researchers across the world contributing to this project. How did you come up with the idea for it?
Part of our job as scientists actually is to take out invited speakers to dinner. And it's actually one of my most favorite things. And I don't think people realize it's part of our job, but it's actually kind of a fun thing. And what I recognized at those dinners was things I had in common with people that I didn't expect. And that I've had some really lifelong friends that have come from those dinners is kind of a really nice, intimate place to really learn about each other in a totally different setting for a couple hours. And I wanted to kind of capture that. But the other bit is, I think a lot of young students and the public in general never really hear about the passions that we have as scientists outside of the lab and how maybe similar we are to each other. And I think that's what I really wanted to capture here. And I think I'm also a massive Anthony Bourdain fan. And I think I love to share this quote. Is I think he says, you know, if I'm an advocate for anything, it's to move as far as you can, as much as you can across the ocean, or simply walk across the river. It's to walk in someone else's shoes, or at least eat their food, right? It's a plus for everyone. There is just a misconception of what scientists are, or what they look like, or who they are, and that they're not one-dimensional people. We're very interesting people. We have passions, but we're very culturally different, more than, you know, we always talk about we need more STEM diversity, but in fact, what we recognized is there's a lot of diversity, and particularly cultural diversity there that you recognize over a meal with someone. Mm-hmm. And I have another quote that Martin Luther King said, you know, we fail often to not get along with each other because we actually don't know each other, but we don't know each other because we actually don't communicate or share a meal together. And so I think we really need to spend more time and really get to know each other. And I think those boundaries won't be there. And I think a meal is the perfect place,
I love that. And Hareem, so here we are at the intersection of food and culture and science. How did you get involved in the project?
I thought it was a very unique idea, and it would be a cool way to mix in my interest of science and journalism. I love just like getting to know people and their stories and their backgrounds. And even though like it wasn't, I guess, like the traditional research that I was looking for, it was a very cool opportunity, which now that I've switched my major to economics and data science aligns really well with that.
And you were wrangling researchers here on their recipes. So you talked with a lot of the scientists in the book. So when you were organizing it, what did you learn about the recipes, or what caught your eye?
It was very interesting to see the diversity in scientists that we have. We have scientists from all different cultural backgrounds, geographic backgrounds. And I think that wasn't something that I really knew going into it, but talking to them about, just like when I was getting information for their bio pages, it was cool to see that all these people come from diverse backgrounds and the recipes they have to share come from like family traditions or just like their cultures. And I thought that was very cool to see.
Anna, I love how you present the scientists with the question of name the four dream scientists you want as your dinner companions. I realized how many names from scientists I just don't know in these dream guests they listed. What did you learn from the scientists that they called out as dream companions?
Yes, there were several that were very common amongst all of us. One of them is Barbara McClintock, which is my favorite too. But there were scientists I had no idea who they were. We have quite a diversity of science fields, not necessarily biologists, but physicists and and engineers. And so it was interesting to see who those people were in their fields that are quite famous and to research about them. It was quite remarkable. I just, there were some commonalities of people we admire, have been our mentors, that we've admired their own paths in science. And I think that was a kind of a unique finding from the book that we didn't expect to happen, but it happened.
And Dr. Diana Chu at San Francisco State named you her dream dinner companion. I mean, tell me you made that dream come true.
Yes. Well, Diana and I eat all the time, but I think we are very, very, we're best friends because we met each other at Berkeley. We were in the same lab. I think I just fell in love with her. She's one of my all-time best friends. That is our experience we love outside the lab, is really enjoying food with each other. And she was the maid of honor of my wedding. I just love her to death.
That's such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. Hareem, you know, you also asked the scientists to name the foods they hate, which was equally as interesting to me. There's a lot of mentions of ketchup. There's a lot of mentions of, like, liver and kidneys and various beans. What do you make of the food the scientists dislike?
The ketchup one, I would say, was a little bit surprising to me, considering the fact that, like, most people I know really like ketchup. I personally don't like ketchup. So it was nice to see that there are other people out there who don't like ketchup. So there were certain spices that people didn't like.
We got a lot of the cilantro soap issues, you know. I mean, real issues. The one that went straight to my heart was octopus. They're just too smart.
Yes, exactly.
Anna, you shared your recipe for Ukrainian Easter bread.
Yes, that's a family recipe. So my dad is Ukrainian. We're Greek Orthodox on my family side. So that bread would take my mother, you know, she would make this bread multiple days ahead of time before Easter. And it was just something that they were so intricate and so remarkably beautiful. My dad spent a lot of time in Scandinavia, so we added herring on the top of it. It was something reminded him of his mother. And so it reminds me a lot of my father. And it's just something that I actually is a very tactile memory in my brain. It is very real for me and is something I love to do and share with my family and friends.
There is so much love in this cookbook, so many good memories. And so many of the scientists were inspired by mothers or that the matriarchs. I wonder, did you notice that, Anna?
I did. I did notice it. I think things I don't hear that from my colleagues on a day-to-day at work. So it's just how much they revere their mothers. And scientists do travel all the time. And we travel very far. And I think that's the other bit of the book that you'll see, as we put a map at the bottom as where a scientist grew up and where they ended up. There is a lot of travel. And bringing those family recipes and that memory of your family and your mother and your father is a really important part of that.
Hareem, I would imagine this cookbook is going to be with you for forever, maybe all the phases, and you're going to hold this as a really good memory. Is there a particular recipe you've tried?
Yes. So I tried Dr. Sue Biggin's Johnny Cheesecake. I thought that was an interesting recipe because there is like a cheesecake layer, and then on the top there is like a sour cream topping, which I thought was really good. It's very different than like the standard cheesecake. And in her recipe, like, she mentioned that it's very popular in her lab and she bakes cakes for everyone in her lab for their birthdays. So I thought that was very sweet and very cool that she has this story behind it. So that was a very good one.
Anna, I have some intel that you have a particular affinity for cakes. Is that right?
Well, that's true, yes. I make science cakes. So every paper I publish, I make it in cake form and I put it on social media and it goes viral. And so I've been doing that for a while. So I've always loved to bake. I would probably be a baker if I wasn't a scientist. I really do enjoy it. It's actually very scientific. I had an undergrad professor that told me, never trust a scientist who can't cook. Like, we have protocols that we follow to do an experiment. That's the same thing we do in the kitchen. And so it's identical. But the sharing of the food is a big part of it, too, you know?
Well, Anna and Hareem, thank you so much for sharing the cookbook and this project. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Lab Culture, a recipe for innovation in science. It's a new cookbook celebrating favorite recipes from over 120 scientists worldwide. That project led by Anna Scope, professor in the Laboratory of Genetics at UW-Madison, who's also an artist. We also heard from UW-Madison senior Hareem Rauf, who was part of the Lab Culture project.